Hey guys, it's Kristen. We'll jump into the episode in just 1 second. But first, I have a question for you. Are you tired of guessing what food is causing your weight gain, your bloating, your indigestion, or your pain? Trust me, I get it. You've tried all the diets. You can't stomach that magic shake. You've heard that taking gluten out would solve your problems. But at the end of the day, you just can't get consistent results with the food on your plate. For years, you've spent time trying to lose that last 10 pounds, and it seems like every few months you give another diet a try. However, it doesn't have to be that way. Instead of that diet or magic shake, it's time to learn what your body needs to finally start losing that last 10 pounds and take health into your own hands. With 5 days of supported food journaling, you can begin to discover what's causing your body pain and preventing you from achieving your goals. Click the link for 5-day food journal in the show notes, and you'll be able to get right to that root cause in the next 5 days. Hello. Welcome to Be Your Best Self Health Chats. Weekly casual conversations about taking health into your own hands. I am your host, Kristen Longacre. We are here to talk today about 9 ways to improve your health. And here's a quick hint I'm going to tell you from the beginning. Only 2 of these involve food. And I'm a nutrition coach, so you're probably going, well, wait a minute, why are you talking about this? Why are you qualified to talk about this? Because one of the things that we always talk about in nutrition is it's not just what happens on your plate. It's also what happens off your plate. And that's something that so many people don't realize is that you can't just eat a healthier diet, quote unquote, and then suddenly you're healthy. You know, there is a lot more to it than what happens on and off your plate. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot more to it than what happens on your plate. There's a lot that has to do with what happens off your plate. And so today we're going to talk about 9 ways to live that healthier lifestyle. And this whole blueprint is made possible essentially by what's called the blue zones. So for starters, let's talk about what the blue zones actually are. So there are 5 places around the world that have the lowest rate of chronic disease and the highest rate of longevity. So what does that mean? These places, they're cities, towns, like areas that basically have their average lifespan is 90 years, which the average American lifespan is 79. And they also have the lowest rate of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, stuff like that. All these chronic diseases that we see day to day in America, these places don't have that, or in most of America, I should say. So where are these? They're not necessarily like remote areas. Some of them are, some of them aren't. It's Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica. I apologize if I'm pronouncing some of these incorrectly. Akari, Greece, and Loma Linda, California. So the reason that we look at these is research has started to notice that these specific areas had this crazy low rate of chronic disease and they had this high rate of longevity. And they were like, well, what are they doing differently that the rest of the world's not doing? And what is it about these areas? Yes, some of them are like more of a remote area, but some of them aren't necessarily remote areas. They've just adopted lifestyles and changes in their life that have made them healthier versions of human beings, essentially. And it's things that go back hundreds of years. It's not necessarily something complicated. It's not a new diet trend. It's not supplements. All of this is being done the same way it always has been. And that's one of the beauties of the blue zones. So researchers went and spent a year or two essentially living in the blue zones. They got to know the people, they interviewed the people, and they came up with this blueprint of what this ideal healthy lifestyle is to reduce chronic disease, to increase longevity. And they've tried bringing it to different places. They took it to the country of Finland in the late 70s, and it totally changed the health of the entire country. They brought it to Middletown, America, and they were able to reduce the cost of healthcare by 40%. That's insane, right? The cost of healthcare went down in the city because of these changes by 40%. So, as I mentioned, the life expectancy in the blue zones is 90. The life expectancy in your average American town is 79. That is the current life expectancy. However, this is the first time in the history of the world that our children are actually expected to have a lower life expectancy than we are. That means that the habits that we are developing are actually becoming more and more harmful to our children, which in turn means it's time to make a change. So I want to talk about the 9 ways that these blue zones live a healthier lifestyle. And like I mentioned, only 2 of them have to do with food. Some of them have to do with community, some have to do with family, some have to do with movement, and none of them have to do with supplements. They're not following diets. They're following the way of daily life that they've followed for hundreds of years. And let's talk about that right now. In America, we spend approximately $200 million a year on preventable diseases. So let's talk about what this group is doing to not have to spend that money, to not have to be hospitalized, to not have to invest in sick care. What they're doing is more known as healthcare than what we would actually consider healthcare. So for starters, number one, there are 9 different things we're going to talk about. So number one, they move naturally. They don't have forced exercise. Now, I'm not saying that forced exercise is bad. Hello, I love exercise. Exercise feels wonderful to me. But they live a daily life where they typically either walk to work. They are walking as part of their job. They have physical labor as part of their job. They are not necessarily in a position where they are forcing themselves to exercise every day. It's just a part of their daily lives. And in our environment, specifically if you work a desk job, you know that moving naturally is not part of your daily life. So yes, in that case, you do need to get out and maybe walk more. Go for walks in the evening or park your car further away so you have to walk further into work. Get those steps in. Start hitting that 10K steps a day or whatever your goal is. 10K isn't necessarily like everybody's default. They are working more labor-intense jobs and it's allowing their bodies to not suffer, but grow stronger. I mean, we look at labor-intense jobs as suffering a lot of the time, but in their minds, it's growing stronger. Some of these people are 90 years old and still working a labor-intensive job. That's not something you see every day around here. Number two is they have a daily sacred ritual. It might be prayer, it might be meditation, it might be an afternoon nap or a happy hour. It's some sort of routine that allows their body to de-stress, which helps reduce inflammation. If you hang around with me at all, you know that reducing inflammation is the number one thing you can do for your gut, which in turn can help lower your risk of these chronic diseases. It can help process your food better. It can help your body absorb vitamins and nutrients better. So reducing inflammation should always, always, always be a go-to for us. So by either going into prayer or a meditation, like I said, maybe even a nap, whatever their daily sacred ritual is, it's allowing them to de-stress. It's allowing them to relax. It's allowing them to put aside the stressors of their day to let their body heal. And again, it's something simple, It's not something complicated. To us, maybe a prayer or meditation seems complicated, but I'm here for a nap. Number three. This one's gonna get you, I promise. Know your sense of purpose. Knowing their sense of purpose is number three. Spend some time journaling on this. I'm not gonna go into too much detail because every single person out here has a different sense of purpose. And it's easy to get lost, especially when you live in a society. Maybe you're a mom, you're go, 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 you have your family, you've got sports, you've got all this going on. You work 9 to 5, 8 to 5, you're gone 10 hours a day. It's so easy to lose your sense of purpose. So I'm gonna encourage you to just take this one and spend some time journaling this week. What is your sense of purpose? Are you still aligned with it, or is it time to readjust what's going on in your life? Number four, maybe you guys will like this one. 2 glasses of wine maximum a day. Yes. At most, they drink 2 glasses of wine a day. Alcohol is okay. In a healthy lifestyle like this, they are using alcohol as something as part of dinner. They're drinking at most 2 glasses of wine. They're not drinking to get drunk. They're not drinking to wash away their problems because they're in this environment where they have other means to take care of their problems, you know, that daily sacred ritual we were talking about. And they are using something like wine instead of a hard alcohol to take care of that alcohol, not even need, but celebration, right? So instead of drinking heavily at night or going through bottles upon bottles of wine at dinner or whatever your favorite hard alcohol is or beer, 2 glasses at most a day, just to enjoy it with family and friends. They live a mostly plant-based diet. Now, this does not mean necessarily eating vegan 100% of the time. However, in these environments, they are eating at most 4 to 5 times a month are they eating meat. Now, part of this is due to where they live. Some of them are in the outskirts where getting access to meat isn't necessarily something that they can afford or do on a daily basis. It is also part dietary choice for others. However, I think it's important to note that meat is important in their lives, but it is also considered a treat, essentially. It's not something they eat often, and it's not something that they eat 2 to 3 times a day. They get their protein from other sources. One of them mentioned they always have a handful of nuts in their pocket. Nuts are a good source of protein. They get their sources of protein from lentils, from beans. A lot of them roll on the Mediterranean diet, which could also be things like fish. In this case, fish are not necessarily considered meat. They eat more of like a pescatarian type diet, but like a meat would be like your steaks, your, you know, beef, all that kind of stuff. But they get their sources from other types of food. But they, like I said, they do eat mostly plant-based. So it's the beans, the lentils, the nuts, etc., that are giving them that source of protein. They also live by an 80% rule. So a lot of these in the blue zones, they all tend to start with breakfast as the largest meal of the day, which is the complete opposite of what we do, right? How often do you grab a protein bar and a coffee on the way out the door, or a muffin or a croissant at Starbucks, and that's your breakfast? Whereas then you eat a big dinner and then you go to bed, you're full, etc. So they do it the opposite. They start with the biggest meal of the day being breakfast, and it's a filling breakfast, but they stop when their body is 80% full. So that allows you not to overstuff your body. It allows you to digest your food and then move on with your day. They end the day with dinner being their smallest meal of the day. So that way they aren't going to bed overstuffed, indigestion, feeling miserable, tossing and turning, unable to sleep. However, going back to this 80% rule, the idea is stop while you're ahead. If you are stopping when you are 80% full, you're not going to end up stuffed. You're not going to end up feeling miserable at the end of your meal. You're going to be able to go on with your day without having a crash 2 hours later because you are still so full from breakfast. Take some time this week. Look at that 80%. Are you stopping when you're full? Are you stopping when you're overly full? Or are you stopping when you are not quite full? Spend some time with that one. Moving away from the nutrition piece of it on the plate to more of off the plate nutrition, and they put their loved ones first. Family is number one in the blue zones. Family or friends, whatever, community is key in all of this. They have a support group. They have groups that can lift them up. Many of them live in multi-generational homes where they do continue to have grandkids with grandparents living in one family home. Family is key, and same with friends. Family, friends, loved ones in general, first, is the most important. Number 8, they all belong to a faith of some kind, and I'm not here to push a faith on anybody, so take that as you will. That is just one of the ways, the power 9 for the blue zones, is that they belong to a faith. And number 10 is having the right tribe. This kind of goes along with number 8, but this one goes a little bit deeper outside of the home. Having the right tribe can make or break your health journey. And I'm just being straight up honest on this one. Research suggests that if your three best friends are obese, you will also be obese. You have a 150% chance of also being obese. Think about that. I hate the phrase your vibe attracts your tribe, but truth be told, you are most likely to hang out with people who are on a similar journey to you. So if you are trying to get on your health journey and no one in your support group or your tribe is on that journey with you, you are more likely to fail. Look for that support. You need that support. I have that support to offer you in my nutrition group coaching program. If you are looking for it, get on the wait list. The doors open in 2 weeks. Having that tribe could make or break whether you're able to move forward on your nutrition journey. And it is shown in the blue zones. That support system, that community is key. Family, friends, community, it is key. Talking a little bit more about this. I mentioned that they took this blueprint and they moved it to Middle America to see what would happen. It reduced healthcare costs by 40%, as I mentioned in the beginning. That's huge. There's research that suggests that if you even adopt 6 of these power 9, you can add 5 to 6 years to your life. That's huge. No matter where you are at in life, being able to adopt some of these habits can help you build a healthier lifestyle to add years to your life. How insane is that? That simple. That's how unhealthy so many people are. And when they brought this to Middle America, there was a lot of discussion. They did it. I mean, how do you just overhaul a city, right? Like, you can't just walk in and be like, all right, we're adopting these power 9 from the blue zones. Let's make this the new blue zone. They trained restaurants about portion sizes. They trained restaurants about vegetables and healthy options and glasses of wine. And they had them adopt these ideas. So they still might have a healthy standard American food. They might still might have like your burgers and your fries and stuff like that. But the portions are more towards what you should be eating, not what the restaurant's going to feed you. I mean, think about it. How often do you finish a hamburger at a restaurant and all the fries and not feel overstuffed? So they went in and adopted they trained the restaurants to adopt this mentality. They added walking trails. They added sidewalks. They started to build up community centers and after-school programs for kids to help them get the same concept. That made a huge difference in Middle America in the towns that they did it in, and they have also tried to slowly adopt other towns throughout the country to build these blue zone-like environments, essentially. You aren't necessarily going to turn around and do all 9 tomorrow. Right? You can't find a community tomorrow. You can't suddenly, I mean, you can suddenly decide you have a faith, build a meditation habit and all of that. But take some of these and work with them. Start to look at what options you have. Start to look at some changes you can make in your own life. Maybe it is going out and finding that tribe. Like I mentioned, the doors to nutrition confidence, my group coaching program, open in 2 weeks. And if you get on the wait list, you're going to get even better prices on it. I'm going to link it below. If you are maybe making adjustments to your food, maybe you start looking into more plant-based options. It doesn't have to be the only thing, but maybe give some fish a try. Start eating more of a pescatarian diet instead of a carnivore diet. Start making adjustments like that. Maybe you start looking at making breakfast your biggest meal of the day. Take some time. You can go back and listen to this as many times as you need to, and start thinking like the blue zones. I would encourage you to spend time like that this week, journal your purpose, and report back. If you ever have questions, my comments, my DMs, my email is always open to dive deeper into this because the blue zones are such a fascinating topic. I could go on all day, but I'm going to cut it off before we hit the 20-minute mark. We will chat again next week. Have a good one.